Hello and welcome to my show. Could you be more specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Well podcast. On this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to title it Keep That Same Energy, Please. And one of the things I'm going to touch on is I know in the news today, you know, I'll rope in the Oprah Neverland interview and what in the Gail King interview with R. Kelly. But I'm only going to use some examples to talk about the larger narratives of what they're talking about. When you hear both Oprah and Gail say that the problems are bigger than one individual, I'm happy that they say that. And the reason why I'm happy that they say that is because I just want to know then, are you going to take it one step further? Because it's easier to always go at an individual. It's hard to go at a system. So what I mean by that is, I got to give him a lot of credit for this. Robert Perkins is someone who recently I saw a show of. And I've seen some shows from him in the past. And like a lot of things, you know, you can agree to disagree on many things. And that's fine. I don't need someone to be, you know, 100% with me at all times. But he actually mentioned something about child marriage. And so, and this, in full disclosure, this is a Wikipedia item. And I'll read it for you here. It says that between 2000 and 2015, over 200,000 minors were legally married in the United States. The vast majority of child marriages were between a child and an adult. The majority of married children were girls. In the United States, marriage age laws are set by the various states, territories, and federal districts. As of January 2019, 48 of 50 states have exceptions in their laws which allow children to marry in certain circumstances, such as parental consent, judicial consent, pregnancy, etc. In 2018, Delaware and New Jersey completely banned child marriage of those 48 states. 17 have no minimum age for children to marry. The federal district and territories all have similar legal exceptions, which allow children to marry except for American Samoa. From 2016 to 2019, 12 states raised their minimum age for minors to marry or added a minimum age when they previously did not have one. In many cases, minors in the U.S. are married when they are under the age of sexual consent in their area, which ranges from 16 to 18. In some areas, minors cannot legally divorce, leave their spouse, or enter a shelter to escape abuse. In 2001 in Tennessee, three 10-year-old girls were married to men aged 24 to 31. Meanwhile, in Alabama, a 74-year-old man married a 14-year-old girl. Both states have since set minimum ages of 17 and 16, respectively. Now, I wanted to read that to you guys because that speaks to the larger problem that this discussion that they're using Michael Jackson or R. Kelly about for. Okay, this is a problem. All right, so you have to then change problems like this systematically. An individual is not enough for you to do that. And that's what, when we have these discussions, I feel like people get so caught up on what team someone's on in regards to an individual person as opposed to looking at, well, what are you ultimately trying to achieve? And that's what people got to keep in mind. So, for example, anyone that's ever seen Dave Chappelle's For What It's Worth, it was a Showtime comedy special that he did. And one of the best joke bits that he did was, how old is 15 really? And he gave the example talking about that. You know, and he was talking about Elizabeth Smart and how she was kidnapped, I guess, a few miles away from her home. And she was in a basement and she wasn't locked up or chained, but she could have left. But she stayed there. And he used that as an example. Okay, so that's how people can view, well, this is only a kid. They don't know better, right? He says, okay, that's interesting you say that. Because meanwhile, a 13-year-old boy, black boy in Florida, was practicing wrestling moves, I believe, with his sister. And he accidentally killed her. And they gave him life in prison. So there's always been a precedent on when society decides who's an adult and who's not an adult. And if you're going under the notion that women's minds on average are 7 years ahead of men, well, then if Elizabeth Smart is 14, I think at that time, she has the mind of a 21-year-old. If you're looking at him as a young boy and you're saying that he's not as smart, which these are the claims a lot of people try to make at times, well, then you can't try him as an adult, right? If that's the narrative you want to go with. Just say that you pick and choose when you want to address it and when you don't. So I'm saying that to say that if you're Oprah and Gayle, if you guys now want to do a full state analysis in terms of, should I say, a full country analysis on addressing where does this come from? Well, there's laws on the books that let you know where it comes from. So for this to kind of be the continued reaction of something happens in the news, we use this person as a figurehead, we follow them, and then as the story unravels, that's when we decide to pick and choose what sides we're going to be on and who we want to advocate for and who we don't, you know. And that also leads me to the comments about Me Too and where they are as an organization. So what I would ask them is, there was a post put out about a particular young man. His name is Sean Oakman. He was projected to be the first overall pick in the 2016 draft by Sports Illustrated. That's until he was accused of rape that same year, 2 weeks before the draft. Instead of signing a $25 million contract and seeing his lifelong dream come true, Sean was arrested and would spend the next 3 years of his life trying to prove his innocence. Yesterday, he was found not guilty and the sex was consensual. Sean is now vindicated by his dream, but his dreams and career have been destroyed. Do you think Sean deserves some type of financial reward? Me too. Hashtag me too, hashtag him too. Now, if you're loyal to principles over people, this is something they would get behind. The Me Too organization, the people that run that. Because you're attacking the behavior, you're not attacking the gender. Because that's what this is dealing with. It's human behavior. In this context, it's human behavior. And if you don't want to address that, that's fine. Just say that. But don't say you want equal rights, but you don't want to have equal responsibility or accountability. Because leadership is hard. And a lot of people don't want to do that. And that's fine. But you can't accept all the good things that come with being in the top slot if you don't want to do top slot work. And so when you read a report like that, or you read about what happened to Brian Banks, who was an athlete who was being projected to be a really big time athlete in terms of he was getting recruited by USC. He got falsely accused of rape and he spent 10 years in prison. And beyond that, just like beyond this young man with his contract, his situation, Sean Oakman, you know what you can never get back? Forget the money. It's your name. The moment you get accused of this, that's it. And these situations need to be properly vetted. To make blatant statements about, I believe, the victims, you know, without any verifications, without any due diligence, that's the society you want to live in? And then when you're wrong, you just get quiet? There's no atonement? There's no contrition that's shown? I don't understand that. And there's certain people I hold to a much higher standard when they do make comments like this. And again, I don't want to get too much into Michael Jackson's thing. I've said what I've said about him. It's like, hey, if you actually present facts that say that this happened, okay then. But being known to change your story inconsistently and to be and then have accusations be proven false multiple times, I'm sorry, I just don't automatically believe you. I just don't believe that. You got to present something that moves forward. And hey, you know, I get it. You know, this is an instantaneous, let me react to this type of thing, and that's fine. Just recently with the Me Too situation in terms of what was going on with Terry Crews. And he made a comment in regards to, I guess, a post that was in reference to Obama about him being harsh on black boys. and he said something about the paternal aspect. He got flack for that. Now, I don't agree that a all male panel should be giving should be doing legislation that's targeting women, because those men don't know what happens with women's bodies. There's just physical aspects to being a woman that a man can never wrap his head around. And that is a fact. That's a scientific fact. See, I lean towards that. I'm not going to pander and be say, oh, I'm pro women. I'm pro logic. That's where I would rather be at. If it logically makes sense and there's facts that verify that, okay then. I'm not on a team. This is not grade school. This is where we got to really start to mature. So if I can say that, hey, you know, we should be mindful of what women's bodies are going on from a health standpoint, and men can't necessarily dictate that to them. Well, then, if a discussion's happening targeting young black males, then I'm sorry. A white woman can't tell me what it's like for me as a young black man or as a black man, period. That's not your lane. You can make it up however you want to make it up to make yourself feel better. So I can't tell you what life is like for you as a woman, let alone a white woman. Therefore, you can't tell me what life is like for me as a man, in particular, a black man. And now we've gotten out of the realm of, okay, you used to be able to tolerate a difference of opinion. Now, if you don't 100% unanimously agree with someone, it's over for you. That's not mature. How do you grow from that? And I know Terry Crews has been in the news for a lot of stuff. Some stuff I understand, some things I don't. But that's a real narrative. That's a real narrative. This alternate reality stuff that we're doing where we're moving the goalposts and we're trying to make something that is supposed to be a certain way and it's not, that's not realistic. And so, you know, I'm all for talking to people who I may or may not agree with. So whether it's Robert Perkins or Tariq Nasheed, or I started watching some videos of the Amazing Lucas. I think Joe Rogan is someone that I like a lot, because I feel like he hasn't created a format where he allows people to be able to engage who may not see eye to eye on a lot of things, that they actually can have a logical, truly introspective kind of conversation with themselves on how they view themselves, but also the person that they're having this discussion with. So I'm all for talking to people like that. I would love to talk to Jordan Peterson one day about this kind of stuff. You know, I don't need no one that agree with me all the time. But this is what these organizations got to really start to decide. And if you're Oprah and Gail, and this is what you guys have now put your names on, and this is what you want to do, okay. Well, this is what I'll ask. I'll ask that from you, because, hey, Nick Cannon put in the post of Oprah kissing Harvey Weinstein. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. And they were actually legit friends. So, you know, I don't understand on how, you know, this pick and choose selective justice stuff that people do. You're either loyal to principle or you're loyal to people. You know, one of the great characters from The Wire, Lester Freeman, says, like, when they asked him whose side he was on, it could have been the first or second season, he's like, hey, I just follow the evidence. And so that's how we got to operate. I was really disappointed with what John Legend said, because he knows better than that. Saying, like, I see no reason not to believe him. If something was mentioned about you and there was no evidence or facts that behind that, that's socially irresponsible for me to just believe something and I have no information or no details that provides any clarity on why I'm going to feel that way about you. That's really disappointing. And I'm not going to get into any other additional factors that people will bring up about John Legend that you like or dislike, but just on the merits of that comment, that's a dangerous comment to say. So I'm going to wrap this up, because I could probably go on a lot more, but those are just some of the things I had to say about this topic. I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. I want to thank D for all the work he's been doing on it, on this pod, and just for this show in general. We got some more future content coming to you real soon. again, just, you know, all the continued support's been really, really great. So thank you for listening. Could you be more specific? Continue to follow the Stay Well podcast. Again, this is Jonathan Stell. Hope you guys have a good one and be safe.